bar?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Sorry to bother you on such short notice here. Hey, listen, I'm looking for Dick Stemke, and I'm not sure if you know him, but believe me, if you've seen him once, you'd remember him. Has he been in there lately?
I am not sure. I don't think anybody else really is.
Okay, well, the problem being, I don't know if you, do you read the Lakeland Times in town here? The guy got busted last week. He stole my wheelbarrow. Okay, I think the guy's got, I think he's a klepto. And he, for some reason, he seems to focus on the darn wheelbarrows in town. Listen, he's a tall guy, real ugly, dumb, too. Just a dumb guy.
Huh.
Kind of tall, like red hair, you know. I don't know, how 60 maybe? Stemke, you know. But
he's stealing wheelbarrows, huh?
Yeah, among other things, trust me, it ain't the only thing.
Yeah.
Guy's a wild card, too. Great bowler.
That's so
though.
Odd.
Bowled a 242 just last week. Rolled with a freaking house ball, too. Amazing. Guy's good.
Wow.
But anyway, he's a klepto. Hey, I'm just checking around, so I appreciate the info, okay?
Yep.
Thanks. Keep an eye out. Watch your lawn and garden equipment.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve, what's going on?
A Tube Screamer, how's it going?
It's going good. How you guys doing?
Gozins. Anyway, keep an eye out for Stemke, boys. He's running amok in the Northwoods.
We're all on the lookout for him. We're trying to find him.
If you've seen Dick Stemke, send us a message. Let us know what he's done in your local area.
Legendary muskie fishing tournament broadcaster.
And bowler.
He's good. Guy can roll.
He can roll. House ball.
He rolled a 242.
With a house ball.
With a house ball, and rumor has it was only a 10-pounder. It was all they had at the time.
You may do. Anyway, it is the live from the Muskie Shop Studios here at Abbey Road, Highway 51 South, Minocqua, Wisconsin. Just going to gab a little bit because we got to get on the water here shortly, but a little bit of what's going on for us and what we're seeing. There is no pattern. So if you're in the North Woods, it can be tricky a little bit. If you're fishing there, I'll be in Canada here shortly, but it's different reports from everywhere. Definitely, you know, everybody's sort of targeting Midwest, upper Midwest, you know, it's not the hottest thing I've ever seen. We're catching fish. We're getting episodes of Muskie Shop TV done. We're getting stuff done for the super mega awesome video. They'll be coming out here after a while, probably in this winter. But, you know, it's interesting because it is, we talked about it last week for just a moment, that the focus needed to be on deeper fish to have any consistency and follows and an action and getting anything going here. Seems that's been the case. We've been really relying on electronics heavily, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, but like you said, it's been very inconsistent, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a couple of days ago, it was a completely different deal, and there was some cold front. We fished a cold front, I believe it was Thursday. Today's Sunday?
Every day.
Was that the nasty day? It was like high of 59 or 60. It was blowing, you know, waves of drizzle. And that was predominantly decent shallow bite. We contacted a lot of fish, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's been good, but it's been taking a little more doing, and that's when I want to sort of talk about some constructive things if you're fishing, because I'm hearing some stuff. Some of Canada's hot, some's not. Some of the upper Midwest, you got your hot spots or a hot lake, but, you know, you got your 1 week vacation or you got your weekend trip coming up. It's going to be important to pattern. It really is. You're going to have to just don't go out there and go, oh, I'm going to huck at the shallow weeds and it's going to happen. You know, you got to dedicate time to everything where cast, troll, mid depth, deep, shallow pops to mind that, you know, that cold day that we hit, which was just one of the coldest days I've seen in July in a long time. I think it was probably upper 50s on the water is probably what it felt like.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
I mean, we were wet. Jim actually brought up the point. You better bring your gear. You know, I mean, I was underdressed.
So. Yeah, that's pretty important. You know, a lot of people that come to the North Woods are on vacation and they think, oh, it's just going to be warm or hot, but you get a severe cold front. And if you're out on the water and you don't have good rain gear and an extra hoodie, an extra Muskie Shop hoodie, you know, you're going to be out there and you get cold and wet and your trip's over and you're miserable. So just come prepared with good gear.
Yeah, you got to have a bunch because we've been playing pretty much every day. You dress up, I call it. All right, we're starting in shorts. I'm putting on the rain pants. Now I'm putting on a jacket. Now I'm hot. Now I'm cold. Now I'm hot. Now I'm cold. Now I'm hot. Now I'm cold. That would just be one thing. Always be prepared for anything anyway. But I would say the biggest thing is being tactically prepared for anything on the boat. Where when we've been contacting fish, you know, you might see some other boats and they're in shallow and you go, man, bait's moving. Things are moving. You know, I've really been relying on my down scan and live imaging to keep an eye on the bait fish and the activity levels of bait fish. If they're stratified, one thing I've been hearing a lot from people, there's a lot of suspended bait, right? So being able to identify that suspended bait, where it's at, its locality, and pretty much its activity level sort of been the thing we've been crutching on. Numerous times we've got on film, we go, all right, there's bait fish here. Six casts later, boom, we're hooked up. You know, and I mean, we did that. We had three hookups the other day. Bam, 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 and it was a relatively narrow band of time. Someone's coming in. We might have a guest, folks.
We might have an instantaneous guest here at the studio.
Who's outside? Who is it?
No, never mind. I was hoping it was the big ticket.
You never know, folks. We have the live recording red light here at the studio going, and some of the interns here.
Yep.
They just don't know, Jay.
And the strobe lights inside.
The strobe lights.
Kind of like the disco ball.
It's very wonderful. But
it is. No, you're right about the bait fish, too, and activity.
Yeah.
And sometimes it changes in an hour.
Yeah.
You've got to make an instant shift.
Yeah. Pattern on them and just pounding pounding throughout the entire day, spending the time, but, man, being ready to strike when you get those narrow opportunities, because I'm not hearing any reports of anybody, at least in this neck of the woods, of going out and just killing them, right? There might be an off guy. They're consistent or things of this nature, but it has really been a game of watching bait fish. We were having a conversation last night, which was interesting, the lack of bugs.
Lack of bugs.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing... Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. My hot take on that entire scenario, there's not a lot of bugs that are feeding a shallow water, you know, food chain. You're not having a lot of bug hatches up on the edge that are pulling in the bluegills, that are pulling in everything. So when you're finding active bait fish that are predating on whether it be aquatic insects, they're predating on whatever they're on, when you find that, you got to be able to capitalize. I mean, presentation-wise, one thing I'm excited about is beaver baits came back in. Been out, you know, that's a hard bait for those guys to make, and those are readily available now, which is cool because of the versatility on that, and that's been interesting,
right?
You know, I got my beavers in my boat, Jay. How much beaver do you have in your boat?
Right, never enough.
Do you not? There's never enough. You gotta. There's something about a wet beaver that gets me going,
and
it gets the muskies going.
And what's the number one key, Jim, to owning and operating a beaver bait? Operate it with a weight system.
Yeah.
Screw in weight system, make sure you pick one up or in a variety of different weights. You know, if you get a standard size one, you'd probably want to look in at 3/4 or even 1 ounce. They require a little bit of weight to get a snappy, lively retrieve to them and stay underwater.
What do you mean? As far as
they're just very light, unweighted.
Yeah, if you take it off the shelf, it's like shallow over shallow vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you want your heavy beaver. You want a deep beaver, if you will. There you go. Weight it up. I mean, that's the standard, pretty much your phantom screw-in weight. Am I correct on that?
Yes, Jambalaya? They all take the same.
Yeah, it's the same standard insert weight there. So, now that's a cool bait. I mean, did really well fishing Canada with those the last couple years, and that's an interesting presentation if you're fishing pressured water. That's going to be the one thing I'd say about that bait is if you weight the crap out of it, right? I don't know what the biggest weight is, but you weight the crap out of it. It's going to run head down. So it's got this undulating thing that a la a tube, right? So we got a tube. It's falling fast. You snap it up, and it's got this snaky kind of whippy motion, which is pretty interesting look to it. If you're not in the know, they're not replicating a beaver. Beavers don't do this. Jay, do you know? What do beavers do, Jay, in the water?
Well, they slap their tail. with a violent action that really, really creates quite a commotion in the water there.
It's a danger beaver.
Yeah. Draws him in, baby.
Draws him in on the beaver.
Okay.
There we go.
Moving on.
Now,
moving on.
It's cool. Now we got those. If you're, especially if you're targeting big fish water, that what is the XL?
Yep.
There's
big
like
bait, large profile.
How big is that beaver?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, 13 inches or 13 something.
13-inch beaver. It'll get you going.
Yeah, boy, we got everything right now. We really do. I can't think of one manufacturer that is lacking in, you know, shipping in a fairly prompt manner. So it's been great because all the lines are really looking great right now in the store.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I'd point out is this, and I saw it on the wall here, so it's common knowledge, I guess, on Wendell's.
Yeah.
That if you're a guy that's fishing Wendell's, you better get them now because is it safe to say that those are no longer going to be, or it's not Wendell's, Ghost Tales.
Ghost Tales are
my
gone.
Apologies, yeah. Folks. It was Ghost
it's for
Tales.
Sale apparently, but for now, they're not being made anymore. And yeah, there's comings and goings. There's a few other companies I don't want to bring up right now.
Right,
I don't know if he wants it public, but that might not are not going to make baits after this year. So we'll see what happens if they get picked up.
I think that when
guy.
Because like I said, if you're on a Hersh's Ghost Tail bite, or you're like, I rely on these for my trips, get them while you can, you know, hopefully somebody will pick up that line or carry on with what they're doing there. But I hate that. Me and Jim were talking about that. There's a rubber bait that I like to throw, and they stopped making the big version of it. And it's been a hunt for a long time. So as stuff goes out, me and Jay always try to let you know, but I know there's going to be a couple others going on there. Yeah. I would say this, and in Jim, why don't you chime in? The interesting thing about up here, lake selection, how do you make a smart lake selection this time of year when it's late? Because, again, I'll preface with saying this. It's cool being at the Muskie Shop because we have hundreds of anglers in and out of the store every day.
Yep,
you can get a read on what's going on by coming here and have a cup of coffee and talking to other people, because most people are looking for information or volunteering information or talking. You're talking with muskie anglers here. Have a cup of coffee in the morning, you know what's going on. How do you make an intelligent lake selection up here? Like, are you fishing, you know, how do you select clear? How do you select tannic? How are you sort of picking through all the stuff there?
I think it kind of comes down to that person's, what they're after. Are they after numbers, or are they after kind of a one giant fish? What kind of action they're looking for the day or for the week? And a good place to start is, like, stop here, you know, and get the Muskie Shop and get local information. And then we just usually kind of say, what lake are you fishing, or what types of lakes are you fishing? And then give them, you know, the best intel we can after that, depending on, you know, local weather that's coming up, storms or wind. You know, there's certain lakes, you know, if it's going to be a super windy day or a few days, you know, maybe some of the bigger lakes are you should shy off of, or fish portions of them that are out of the wind where you're not going to get blowed off if you got a small boat and whatnot. But yeah, we like to find out what they're after, and then try our best to meet their needs. And there's a lot of variety up here to fish. As if it's windy, there's always a place to go. There's always a place to fish up here. That's really, really nice.
What do you guys think between the clear and the tannic stuff? What do you think, Jay? Jim? Clear versus tannic?
I think a lot, Steve.
You think a lot.
Clear versus tannic right now. Right now. July
23rd. Right. It's happening right
now. It's happening.
It's happening.
Whew.
How do you make that call?
Well, that's a pickle.
It's a pickle.
Right there. It is.
Is it like light penetration?
There's so many factors going into that. Okay. There's a handful of lakes that we've all been on before that traditionally bloom up August 1st, right? Get on them now before they bloom.
And there's clearer lakes, right?
Yeah, and they generally have fairly clear, not gin clear.
Right.
Not gin clear like your, you know, Lake Tomahawk, Lac de Flambeau chain stuff where you can see down 20 feet, you know, on a sunny day. And if it's a sunny day like today, although there is some clouds here and there, a little bit. Probably got, looks like that wildfire smoke's rolling back in here again. So you got that diffused, nasty smell out there. Anyway, Yeah, the Clear Lakes on a sunny day during the middle of the day would not be a top choice at all. Obviously, you get on the tannic water. We have plenty of that around here, too. And, you know, you fish, you know, generally we are finding with the cold fronts some excellent action where stuff gets buried in there. And there's a good portion of the musky population and baitfish population that hunker down in the weeds. And it's that old booker.
Getting sloppy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, get in there and yank them out and with some violently fast stuff. And, of course, what's the other hand with that, Steve? What's the traditional cold front approach?
Which is?
You slow down and erratic. And, of course, you know, dependent on so many things. We were on fairly clear water 2 days ago, and it was sunny, and fish were fairly shallow. And I think we had... I think we boated a couple and had another couple hits. So that's not especially traditional, not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. So we're making do, and we're stressing, I guess, is that be creative right now when you're coming up and come in and talk to people here because, you know, we're finding things change daily. But on the other hand, we thought we had a pretty solid pattern going the last few days. Yeah. So. And I think we did. I just think conditions are changing and the bait is moving rapidly.
Yeah.
So you make do and you go out there and you put the time in. It's we've had beautiful weather, so we're having a great time.
Yeah. It's just
Steve's been up here a week, man. We're having fun.
We're cranking on some hogs.
Yeah.
It's just interesting from the standpoint of, and I think this is overarching. It's what I'm hearing on like Eagle and the Goon where I'm heading, all this stuff where what worked yesterday might not work today or tomorrow, where you got to fish smart, fish intelligently. I mean, my buddy Tim, he's going to be fishing with me here in a week or so. He went up early, and they were fishing bass baits. You know, he got six on bass baits with his wife, where you went, there's all this tiny stratified bait. We've heard that from a bunch of walleye and bass anglers, that they're still popping off on small stuff.
Yep.
We have not had any action on a mid-sized bait. It's either shock and awe for bottom-tight fish. I will say this. It's the cat is out of the bag, if you will, Jay, on something that's crack-a-lackin'.
Oh, baby.
Just a little bit. But, so we've hinted at, we've talked about, there's going to be a video here very shortly for the normies that don't know, that are not in the know. But the Kraken, Jay cracked one on the Kraken, first fish in the north.
Yeah.
First of the north.
Yeah, right away.
On the Kraken. I'm not going to tell them what it is yet. I'm not going to explain the bait, but people, there's grumblings.
The Kraken's never scared.
The Kraken is never scared of cold fronts.
I don't know what that means.
Or hot fronts.
Anyway. Kraken likes to,
but,
I don't know.
You know, it's a 10-inch bait. And here we're going nasty off conditions, and Jay makes two casts, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, trophy in the net. And that was a little shocking always. And like I said, it's not a lot of in-between. It's not a lot of – it's either we were talking – or we saw some guys the other day that are throwing frickin' Smitty Wizards, you know, and they pop a couple fish. And we're throwing 10-inch baits, and we pop a couple fish. But I'm not hearing
– Right.
Yeah, I'm not –
Right, that's
yeah,
true.
But I'm not seeing the – baby DR or mid-sized baits. It's either tiny or big stuff.
We're not seeing it has to be purple. It has to be 5 inches. It has to be, you know, you have to be in 3 feet with weeds.
Right.
There is no distinctive pattern to that. Because like you said, we saw, you know, we were moving through an area and those guys, bam, bam, got a couple quick fish. We moved not too far from them and did the same thing on completely different presentations.
But big stuff. You know, and it's just like big Josh Krieger, we're out with him. He had a big old bait on, gets cracked. You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of mid-sized presentations is what I'm seeing where it's like, okay, this is the I don't know of a hot bait either of you would see it. And that's the fun thing of being here at the store. When everyone in the world's coming in and they're grabbing 13 of the same bait, you know something. We better load the boat with those because something's going
There's
on.
There's always a period where that happens, too. Absolutely.
You get
you
a run on.
Every year, every season.
Here's a run on Shumway giant flashers. Well,
whatever it may be.
Yeah, whatever it might be, whatever bait's going on. And, you know, people get cracking that way. I would just stress that versatility, the intelligence in what you're doing, trying to pattern through the course of the day. What I've been doing and from the nose of the boat here is constantly checking the parameters of what's going on, right? Admitting, hey, this is shutting down here. Let's try something different. You know, we've done it. I don't think there's been a day go by that we really haven't at some point trolled in some capacity either.
Absolutely.
You know,
you're checking out there.
Check it out. And yesterday, we're on a lake and it's new. It's not brand new water, but it's still new water as far as the details. I go, okay, let's make a trolling pass just to understand this section of the lake better, right? We get that wrapped around our head when they boom, we go in there and we got two fish moving around there on casting presentations. And now you really know the structure. So that's just, I just don't think anybody's going to go this time of year, pretty much anywhere in the habitat range, and go blast the edge with blades and consistently put fish in the net. I'm not hearing that. And I'm just giving you the skinny on the thought process. I don't think it's pressure. I think it's definitely in the Northwoods. I think it's an oddity of climactic conditions. It's an oddity of the lack of bugs moving the food chain. And again, we've had the up and down weather across the board. Herbeck, I was talking to him. Hey, what's the scoop on Eagle right now? He said, mm-hmm. We were dealing with what you guys are dealing with right now. That was happening in Canada a week ago, right? Because you have some very weird climactic conditions going on. You have somewhat El Nino thing in the south. Literally, my house is just burning. You know, it's 175 degrees in the shade.
So let's not go there then.
Let's not go. I wouldn't fish there. But you've just got weird things going on weather pattern wise, and you hear everybody talk every year. It's a complaint about it's a weird year. It's a weird year, right? It's different. That's the key, is you've got to do different things because you can't go and fish memories. We spot fish a little bit. Hey, remember Jay's the king of, oh, this is where John caught one. You know, we'll go over there and hit it. And you go, well, there's nothing here, right? You sort of check the area, but don't go, okay, I'm dedicating all my time to X, Y, and Z because it was productive 2 years ago. Go in there, make your 10, 15, 20 casts, but be observant. That's probably the biggest thing I'm saying, is you've got to be observant of what's going on with your electronics. The one thing I'd say, gentlemen, Krieger said this. I've talked to other anglers in the shop, and you guys fill me in. Visual follows seem to be lacking. Are you hearing? You guys hearing the same thing?
Yes. In a nutshell, yes.
Yeah, Jim? It seems like this whole year it's been a lack of follows compared to a lot of years. I'm not sure why, but a lot of customers are coming in and they aren't talking about, oh, I seen five, or mm-hmm. I seen three, or oh, I seen one. Sometimes they'll say, or I didn't see anything, but I caught two, you know, that type of stuff.
But on the other hand, we made some adjustments, I think, 2 days ago, and we had an awful lot of fish up. And I got one on a figure eight.
Yeah, got one in the eight.
But
I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, visually, like we see the fish coming in, one a day with three good sticks going on the boat, that we're seeing like, oh, Jay had one that we saw that came in. It might be a Dinkerstein or a decent fish. We're patterning a lot off electronics more so than visually for what areas fish are moving in, where, you know, you look at the book Next Level and I'm talking about, you know, using your side scan or using panoptics or whatever you got, you know, whether you got that stuff or not, but intelligently fishing. I mean, there's been a couple of these things that have come in on baits that I see on my down scan. You know, everybody's got a down scan thing. In this scenario, if you're struggling with visual follows, because this happens at times, they'll follow deeper, they're holding deeper, you're not going to see that hot fish coming up, making sure that you're running your figure eights near your down scan or your side scan or somewhere where you can get that big bloop on there where you go, there's a fish.
Well, yeah, and you're the king, you're the consummate guide. You know, you're looking out for the other two people in the back of the boat. You know, Steve's hunched over with a sore back all day going, you know, fishing at the same time going, Jim, you got one coming in.
Yeah.
You know, Jim turns the bait, bam.
Right. Doing that,
it happens.
And you couldn't physically see the fish, you know.
No. Good point. That was deep and a little bit behind the bait, and you didn't see it coming in. Electronics showed you that, and cool advantage.
Well,
occasionally,
I've been using the combination of side scan, down scan, and live image all at once. And I would say that whether you got it or not, because, you know, everybody's got different rigs, or you got this or you got that, or you're limited on this or whatever, the key of what I'm preaching right now is make the most of your electronics that you have. Because, like I said, I've done it in the past, and everybody goes, how did you do this before live imaging, right? And I'll give you a little ninja trick here. I would literally make sure on my old trolling motors, right? Everybody used to have the transducer that was mounted on the bottom of your trolling motor, right? Okay. Gonna tell you a trick here. It'll make sense. It'll sound stupid, but it'll make sense after a minute. The first time I go in and make a pass on, say, a new structure, if I didn't know where I was at, I'm up north or I'm in Canada or whatever, and I don't know where I'm at, I would go through, do my pass, make my little trail, understand what I'm looking at. Okay, this is an 8-foot break and there's weeds on it and all this fun stuff. After that, I would take my transducer and cockeye that thing so it's not just shooting the bottom under. Try to get it to the side. And this is before side scan was invented, right? Where you could see a big flash in shallow water. You could mark something on downscan sonar, put that thing at it. You're not going to put it sideways, like forward facing, but you could run your baits by it and you could see something come in, because I spent years going, oh my God, we're not getting follows. You feel like there's nothing going on, but utilize whatever electronics you have on your boat to try to get some visual representation of something has gone by a transducer.
That's great. And that's it, you know, oh, we're not getting follows. But in fact, you were.
You are,
and
yeah.
You probably were getting a lot because they were just out of sight, just out of that visible, you know,
range.
Penetration of water clarity and light penetration, mm-hmm. and all that jazz.
Yeah, you have to do something. And after a while, you just start losing your mind, you know. And like I said, back in the day, so it's not a matter of having live scope. Or it's not most everybody that's got to run in any kind of rig. You've got some kind of unit on there. Figure out a way to utilize it to understand fish. And if you go, hey, you know, I don't think that would work, jig a Bondi right there, and you will see on a fast, that's the other thing I'll say is this as far as electronics, scroll speed. And I'm just riffing as I go here. Make it up as I go, Johnny.
Scroll speed, okay.
So of the scroll speed of your screen, and you'll see on different units how fast that thing's updating. So back in the day, when we were jigging fuzzies and we're jigging, you know, Bondies, but Bondies were out before live imaging, put that sucker right in your transducer and you can watch it bounce up and down pretty well, right? It's a slight delay. It's not like instantaneous, but you will see the trail of your Bondi bait or your fuzzy does it on your transducer. Jig it right there. Oh, something big and red just came up on this. Guess what? You know, what could that be? You can adjust that scroll speed and play with that dude to get some pseudo sense of follows somewhere around your trolling motor head. So it's going to be a matter of positioning that transducer, positioning your trolling motor, and leading your figure eights near that where you're looking for that blob or bloop so you can stick and stay and make them pay. Because that's the biggest thing is when you're not getting visual follows, where do I dedicate my time? That can be a difficult scenario of go, well, I've fished the whole lake. Didn't get a single follow, but where in fact, if you'd done some tweaking with your electronics or used something, you go, okay, there's two up here on the North Bay. That's where I'm going to be on the major. That's where I'm going to be on the minor. That's where I'm going to be at sunset.
You make know? All those assessments and put them together. It's like, well, okay, what direction's the wind been blowing out of the last 2 days? We've kind of had a northwesterly thing here. That's going to be an aid in determining that you want to be on the opposite end of the lake. For starters, check it out. Spend an hour on your primary two good spots over there. Try to make a determination if there are active fish buried in the weeds or if it's something that you got to go with a deeper tactical presentation.
Well, deeper, and I'm hearing, you know, from
she's laughing
deeper
at me.
Deep beavering with JSE.
Tactical
beavers. Get your beavers. Jay's. What? Do you have a special beaver, Jay? Walleye beaver.
Walleye, that's it. Yeah, good answer.
That's a good beaver. I like it. Those are cool bait.
Yeah, they are cool baits.
But, you know, that's an interesting deep. What were you saying, Jim?
They're like a giant bucktail, you know? throw up a humongous profile.
Have you done the dozer blades on them?
I have not.
They can put.
I think
I've seen
a couple guys
do
I think
that,
Fred yeah. and Doug have, but I have not.
Dozer Beaver.
Yeah.
Get your flashy.
We've got some tactical dozer stuff coming out soon. I got to put that that one with the that really colorful purple lure. Remember that one you did the dock the other day? I didn't have time to finish it.
I didn't know you were showing the world my secrets.
Oh, that thing looks good. Secrets. We did it for a tactical short to show everybody.
He's got tactical shorts.
Looks good.
Jay's wearing
water.
His tactical shorts right now. They're camouflage.
Nobody can see me on the water.
Me and Jay have middle-aged white guy uniforms. It's where you wear camo shorts because you don't have to wash them. You can just get as dirty as you want.
It doesn't show the musky slime, I'll tell you that much.
No musky slime. No mustard.
That's no fun.
Jay's covered in mustard right now. Anyway, sorry, retarded.
Hey, if I got one tip for you guys, is keep an eye on your wheelbarrow and other house and garden
Other gardening equipment. Anyway, well, we're going to go get on the water and stop being retarded. Anyway, guys, we'll catch up on Q&A next week. I was too lazy to get my laptop out. So we'll do that and give you guys a update of what's going on here. But fun stuff. Check out the beaver baits. Anything else new show up there at the old musky shop?
We got a bunch of new stuff. We got a bunch of new...
I'm looking at these.
Yeah.
What are they called?
I'm not sure what they're
called.
He
told me about them.
Hottail. We got some new hottail gliders in.
Well, and you got the hottail gliders and the hottail crankbait.
Boy, we got a bunch of stuff in this week. Of course, I was fishing with you all the time, Steve. I haven't been here a lot.
You get the dancer glide. Very cool. Big old hunky, fat-headed glide bait.
I know we've got something expected on Monday that's going to be brand new, so hopefully by Tuesday it'll be on the website.
We might do a special podcast
on it. We might do a special one. It's pretty cool.
40 minutes. That's why we're sandbagging this week.
New stuff coming.
There's a bunch of cool stuff coming.
There is.
But, you know, Jim, do you know the name on that crankbait from him?
Here,
Yes.
Invoice is right here.
Here we go.
What is it called? Lockjaw crank.
It's awesome.
Is it?
It's the Hottail's Lockjaw crankbait. Are they on the website yet? Are they going up this week?
They'll be going up tomorrow.
I'm sitting here looking around, boys. They're super nice.
Do you want to see Jay's pictures of them on the website, or would you like to see Tom's pictures of them on the website?
Tom does a great job. Jay's just a little more fine-tuned.
Jay's a little more artsy. He's the creative type. No, those lockjaw crankbaits look very cool. Anthony makes a heck of a bait.
Yeah,
they got some SP Tiger ones. They're going to be cool. They're sort of a custom little bait there. But anyway, folks, we're going to go get on the water. We're going to get our beavers wet. I recommend you do the same. Say goodnight, Jaybird.
Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
It's actually like
Jim,
3 o'clock.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a good one.
It's 3. It's good afternoon. Say good afternoon, Jim.
Good day.
Good day, mate.